Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
When is the ideal time to retire? Age 62, 66, or even older, perhaps 70? Well, making the wrong decision can cost you a considerable sum of money. Knight Kiplinger thought he knew the answer, but he was in for a big surprise. Knight is our guest today. He is the editor-in-chief of Kiplinger's publications. And Knight, I am really fascinated by what you found out by using a tool that you all are actually have available to consumers. Tell us a little bit about the genesis of this whole thing.
Well, for years at Kiplinger, we've been writing about the decision on the right time to start drawing your Social Security benefit, whether or not you retire from your job. One of the first decisions you have to make in your early to mid-60s is when to tell Social Security, start sending me that check. Every day, Shirley, 10,000 people in America, all over the country, turn 62. That is the age at which you can first claim a Social Security benefit, but it's a much lower benefit than if you wait to the traditional retirement age, which is now 66 for most people. And of those 10,000 people turning 62 every day, about 40% of them will grab that lower benefit when they first are able to. Now, some of them might have really difficult financial circumstances, and they feel they need that monthly check. Some of them might have a history of bad health in their own life, or they look at their family and they look at longevity in their family and they say, well, we don't live very long. I'd rather start a lower benefit at 62 and get a few more years of it than wait to the typical retirement age of 66 or an even bigger check if you can wait until 70. So I'm not saying that it's wrong for everybody to start the Social Security benefit at 62, but I don't think 40% of the people, those starting at 62, are making the right decision. I would say a lot of them are leaving a great deal of money on the table, total lifetime benefits, by starting that check too early. So at Kiplinger, we've been writing about this for a long time, but recently we teamed up with a bunch of computer guys, computer nerds, and we have created a very user-friendly computer program in which you put in the parameters of your own life, your marital situation, your earnings history with Social Security, all that sort of thing, and you pick your own likely longevity, your own likely life expectancy, and this computer program will come up with a recommendation for you and or your spouse, if you're married, on when, ideally, to start receiving your Social Security benefit. It's called Kiplinger Social Security Solutions. Kiplinger Social Security Solutions. And my wife and I were guinea pigs for this program. We decided to give it a test drive. So we filled out the questionnaire, very easy to do. We did it online. You can do it online or on paper. We filled it out. We had both been planning to wait until 70 for the higher benefit you get from waiting. But to our surprise, the program came back and said that my wife, who is a little older than I am, not much, I don't want to offend her, a little older, and also worked at the lower earnings of the estimable profession of school teaching for many years, it was recommended that she start the benefit at 66, claim her benefit at 66, not 62, but 66. I will do something called claim and suspend. You register for your benefit at 66, but you tell Social Security, don't give me the money yet. I wait until 70. And by using this combination and assuming that she's going to be alive at 66, I think she will be, and assuming that I'm going to be alive at 70 and live long lives, over many years, we'll get tens of thousands of dollars more in cumulative benefits from Social Security by this strategy. And I wouldn't have thought of this on my own, her starting the benefit earlier, my waiting until the
okay, now
time.
Let me just ask, do you have to start taking it at 70 or can you even wait beyond that?
You have to start
you
at 70.
You have to start, so I was wrong in my intro when I said
or
beyond.
70 is hip. And let me give you some numbers about how much is at stake here. Let's figure that you have a hypothetical Social Security benefit of, say, $1,800 a month at your normal age of 66. And that's the normal age right now for people, oh, who were born between 1943 and 1954. And I'm in that sweet spot in my, mm-hmm. in my early 60s. At 66, let's say your normal benefit would be $1,800. How much are you foregoing in that monthly amount by starting at 62? At 62, you get only $1,350 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Only $1,350 at 62, but of course you'd have 4 more years of that benefit than if you wait till 66. When you get to 66, if you wait 4 more years to 70, you're going to get a benefit that's 8% higher every month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 8% a year.
Mm-hmm.
Your monthly
mm-hmm.
benefit will be 8% higher each year for those 4 years. So you're going to get 32% more.
Wow.
By waiting until 70, you're going to get $2,400 a month. Not $1,350 at 62, not $1,800 at 66,
right.
but $2,400 a month if you wait until 70.
Well, you know,
so the
part,
swing
right,
between 62 minutes. And 70, that's a 75%
that's amazing.
Difference.
That's amazing.
Higher,
you know,
or lower.
What's so interesting, the conventional wisdom used to be, take it as soon as you can. And did that, I suspect, have something to do with life expectancy?
Yes.
Because people didn't live as long, and they would think, well, I'm going to retire. I want to take all the money I can, go out and enjoy what little life I have left. Well, now we see people living into their 80s, 90s, having full productive lives, and that makes a significant difference.
It really does. I'll give you some examples. Right now, the national life expectancy for the American people, for men, it's 76. For women, it's 81. Now, that's a national population. It includes many poor people who sadly have not had good health care in their life. They're not in good health. They're in families with a history of low life expectancy. And there are some other programs out there for calculating the ideal start date of Social Security benefits that just plug in these national numbers, 76 for men, 81 for women. At Kiplinger Social Security Solutions, we think you should be able to customize your life expectancy. You're in great health at 65 or 66. Your parents lived well into their 80s, a generation before. So we allow people to customize this. Actually, the default settings for our program at Kiplinger are 85 for men and 90 for women, because we know among the people who read Kiplinger publications, they tend to be well-educated, sensible, clean-living people. They live to that age, but they can customize life expectancy in the questionnaire for Kiplinger Social Security Solutions.
I think
we
is,
like that.
That's an astonishing part of what you're allowing people to do, is to really put in lots of life factors. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Knight Kiplinger. He's the editor-in-chief of Kiplinger Publications. And we're talking about something that may really surprise you. When should you retire? And you know what? You may have the wrong answer. At least Knight did. And he found some very interesting things in terms of money, how much money you're going to earn if you change perhaps your thinking on this. Depends on a lot of factors, which is what you're allowing them to do. Now, Knight, tell people how they can get to this wonderful tool.
Well, if they are web users, and a lot of people in their early 60s are web users.
Yeah, but you know, they don't even have to wait until they're in their 60s to start planning and looking ahead.
That's right. As
you
a matter
know?
Of fact, if you're one of those 10,000 people who is turning 62 today, or it's coming up next year, sit down with an investment counselor, your financial planner, and among the things that you should be talking about is the ideal start date for Social Security. If you Google Kiplinger Social Security Solutions, just put that into your search engine, mm-hmm. Kiplinger Social Security Solutions, or go to our website, kiplinger.com, this will come up. It is a paid service. It costs $50. We think it's a very modest price for
given the fact that
the
you
importance
can, yes.
of this decision. And we're hearing from early users of our program that the recommendation comes back to them that if their life expectancy guess is correct, and that's a big if, I acknowledge that, they could, over their lifetime, receive $50,000, $75,000, $100,000, $125,000 more in cumulative benefits by following the recommendation of our Kiplinger program than if they grab that benefit at 62, now, especially if they don't have to.
That's right. Now, you talked about, in the case of you and Ann, Ann's going to start taking Social Security at 66.
Right.
You, when you said you had suspended the claim, tell me what you did what that means.
Yes, I'm not at 66 yet,
right,
and neither is Ann. She's planning to start actually receiving her benefit at 66. But at 66, I will file and suspend. It's not like I'm not going to communicate with Social Security Administration at all. I'm going to claim the benefit at 62 with a filing and tell them that I'm
at
going
62
to...
At 62 or 66?
Excuse me, at 66.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to tell them, don't start sending me that monthly check. Wait until I'm 70. And for each year that I wait past 66, my annual benefit will be 8% higher than the year before.
Right. Now, I understand that. But do you have to do this at 66? What is the...
You do have to do that. And okay, there's a good reason for doing that. Kevin McCormally, our crack tax editor and retirement specialist, explained this better than I can, but I'll make a stab at it. There is actually a bump up in the spousal benefit, a bump up in Ann's benefit, if I file at 66 and suspend until 70.
Oh, okay.
So, and as our program shows you, it's the interaction between you and a spouse's Social Security benefit that is very, very important here. It's a combo package. And that's why if you are still married, you need to do this. Now, our program, Social Security Solutions, is great for widows. It's great for divorced people. It's flexible by marital status. Some other programs in the mm-hmm. marketplace are not as good on different marital status as ours is. And the questionnaire will ask you about this. They'll ask you about the earnings record of your spouse mm-hmm. or your ex-spouse. And it'll walk you through these steps. But it's really important for a husband and wife in their early 60s to fill the questionnaire out together and see what the recommendation is for both of them.
Well, you know, I always kind of feel like retirement planning is something you should start when you're very young.
Right.
Right. Especially given the fact that you can't count on that company pension to carry you through your old age. And so consequently, what we're saying here is just saying to people, you need to be prepared. You really need to sit down at an early age and figure out what's going to happen with you. And then as you go through various stages of life, making the changes or adjustments that need to be made. And, of course, one of the biggest things is looking at your debt load, I would think, as you're approaching retirement.
It sure is. Most Americans are carrying too much debt, but one ironic benefit of the painful times we've just been through is that a lot of Americans have been paying down their debt. They've been improving their balance sheet. Home equity has stopped falling in most parts of the country and is now rising again. Homeowners took a terrible hit to their home equity, of course. Now that is gradually reducing. People are paying down debt, but most Americans, working Americans, are still woefully under saving in their 401ks and their 403bs and their thrift saving plans for federal workers. I mean, I think they should be setting aside at least 10 or 12% of their gross pay every month from an early age, from you know, 23, 24 years old, all through their working life, setting that aside for retirement in addition to the more liquid savings they might be putting into an accessible form for family emergencies, a job loss, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But retirement alone, 10 or 12% of gross pay should be going into those. And IRAs,
yeah,
take advantage.
Use
of
what you can get.
Every
That's exactly tax right.
Every tax-deferred vehicle that federal tax law makes available to you. Roth IRAs, the whole shooting match. And the earlier you start, the better, because you get the benefit of that, of those compounded investment returns over a lifetime.
Yes.
There are going to be years of bad years in the stock market, bad years in the bond market, and you're going to take a hit, but that's no reason not to stick to a disciplined savings plan.
Well, and for people who retire early, don't they have to be concerned about what kind of health insurance they're going to have during, if they retire at 62, because they're not going to be eligible for Medicare, right?
That's really true. And we've been talking, Shirley, about one piece of the equation, the ideal starting date for your Social Security benefit. The question of when to leave the workplace is a related but separate question. And yes, never leave yourself without health care coverage, affordable health care coverage. Now, in 2014, we're going to have more choices. There will be, we think, no one's really sure yet, but we think that under the new health care reform law, there will be better priced individual policies for self-employed people, for unemployed people, better priced small group policies for small businesses under the healthcare exchanges that will be created. But we're not going to go there.
Yeah,
the simple message
on,
is,
right,
you know, don't leave a job with healthcare coverage without knowing where you're going next. If you retire at 62, but Medicare doesn't start until 65, make sure you know what the cost of bridging that gap
is. That may be a huge cost, too. I mean, you really, really don't know, but that is something that should be carefully investigated. A lot of people decide they're going to quit and go do something different, you know, which I think could be fun. My husband took a fairly early retirement from IBM, not Social Security, but from IBM. And then went in as a practicing lawyer in the state's attorney's office. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of different things that people do.
Sure.
So, if you can, make those kinds of changes, that might be fun. Or maybe you love your job, like me. I love what I do.
Yes.
I suspect you love what you do.
That's true. At Kiplinger, we have quite a few employees in their mid-60s who are highly productive, creative people, as they have been for years, and we don't want them to ride off into the sunset.
No.
And they're in good health. They have vitality. So they're going to stick around longer. A lot of Americans are working longer either because they must, and that's a sad circumstance. They're not financially prepared for retirement, or because they love their work, they're doing good work, and they don't see any reason to stop at 65, 66, 67.
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Knight Kiplinger. He's the editor-in-chief of Kiplinger Publications, and that includes the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. You have a newsletter.
Kiplinger Letter, weekly.
Knight, I hate to tell you, but I've subscribed to your magazine since it was Changing Times.
Well, you're dating yourself a bit.
A bit.
Actually, we only changed the name to Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine in 1991, so there are a lot of younger people who still remember it under the other name.
We were subscribers well before that, so at any rate. But anyhow, and your website, people can find your Social Security's a tool at Kiplinger.com.
That's correct.
Right? So go there, take a look at it, see if this is something you want to do, because it can save you a lot. I'm just still startled by the findings, Knight, when you tell me about what you and Ann had gone through and that you're calculating this. And, you know, if I would have thought that anybody would have had the right answer, it would have been you.
Well, that is true. The old conventional wisdom, and it's not bad wisdom, is with a couple in their early 60s, the lower earning spouse should claim early, 62, 63, 64, and the higher earning spouse should wait as late as possible. And actually, that conventional wisdom is what our program, Social Security Solutions, bore out for Ann and me, but it also described this file and suspend strategy for me that I would not otherwise have been aware of. We also hear that there is staff at Social Security offices around the country who give bad information, bad factual information. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she went in and talked to a person when she went to register for benefits. And he said, oh, it doesn't make much difference. Yeah, you can start at 62, and yeah, it's a significantly lower benefit. It's 25% lower, but you'll have 4 more years of that lower benefit. It all evens out. Well, that's not good advice.
It doesn't even out.
And this was an employee of Social Security Administration, and he's not going to interview her the way our Kiplinger Social Security Solutions software does. He's not going to say, how long did your parents live? How long do you think you're going to live? What's your health like today? Well, you're a good candidate to wait as long as possible for your benefit. That's what our software questionnaire does.
Oh, I think that's the astonishing part, is because you put in so many life factors.
Yes.
That really do go into making up what we're going to do, how productive we are, how long we live, and so on. So that to me is the greatest thing. I think one of the things, I'm wondering if people who are saying, well, I'm going to retire early and go out and enjoy my leisure, I wonder if they're psychologically prepared for not having a job to go to.
You know, Shirley, I hear this a lot. Retirement is traumatic for a lot of energetic, productive people. And I also hear, half-jokingly, that it's traumatic for their spouses.
Yes.
Have you seen the little ceramic sign people have in their home? I married you for better or for worse, but not for lunch.
Amen.
And spouses, retired, they need a new outlet in their life. It could be working part-time. It could be consulting. It could be volunteer work. They could become really active managers of a small nonprofit or advisors to a small nonprofit. Mm-hmm. They could turn a hobby into a part-time business. And there are people who do that. You know, as you mentioned earlier, the traditional retirement age of 65 and the traditional Social Security age of 65, now 66 or 67, it was created back in the 1930s when life expectancy was much shorter, health was not as good. Retirement was a short and unhappy interval of maybe 10 years. For a lot of people, only 5 years, 7 years. Today at 65, a lot of people are looking at a 20-year retirement. They've got to be funding their life until 85 or 90 years of age. And that requires a huge amount of savings because the traditional defined benefit pension is no more, as we know. A lot of middle-aged people still have a benefit due them from a large company they worked for, whether it was IBM or Kiplinger Publishing or General Motors, many others. So there are a lot of people still getting a defined benefit pension, but young workers today are not going to have that. They're on their own.
They've got to do that planning themselves.
They've got to do it themselves.
Yep. And that's a little bit scary. I mean, but they need to sit down and think about it. I mean, I think that's the value of talking about it is making people aware that their security, their retirement may be far different from their parents.
It is. Now, when I talk to young people, some of them cynically say, oh, Social Security is not going to be there for me. The system will have collapsed. I adamantly disagree. Social Security will be there for them. It will not be as good a return on the taxes that came out of their paychecks over the years as it was for their parents or their grandparents, but they're going to get a Social Security benefit. You know, 6.2% comes out of every paycheck, and their employer contributes 6.2%. Now that the 2 points that was shaved off during the Great Recession is being put back in this calendar year, that's 12.4%. Now, every economist worth his salt says if people invested that on their own over a whole working career, their return would be better than their future Social Security benefit.
Right.
But I'm not going into that policy
debate right now. That's for another time, and
that's
we'll
for another
do that
time.
Another time.
But I do tell young people, Social Security is going to be there for them. Not a great
Good
deal,
word.
But there.
Good word to end the program, Knight. Thank you so much. You've been really enlightening. The website is Kiplinger.com. You can find information on when should you retire. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Knight Kiplinger, Editor-in-Chief of Kiplinger Publications. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.